Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Do We Know Them? I'm Lily Marston here with Jesse Smiles, and we are on episode 70, which feels like such another milestone.
It does. I'm tipsy.
Jesse's drunk.
Oopsie. I made a mistake.
She pre-gamed a little.
This is, one of you guys called me out in the comments. This is a, what is known as, formerly known as, a Cutwater Lime Margarita. And if you've ever had one of these, I've had 1.5 and I actually do feel drunk, which is kind of sad.
I think I asked you on camera before, but maybe it was off camera, that like drinks like that, I would assume that it would get like separated.
It tastes like a very strong margarita. When you think margarita in a can, vom, like disgusting, right? Of course.
I think of like you taking a sip and it tastes like the margarita mix, and then taking a sip and then it's like straight tequila.
No, it's all one cohesive flavor, but it just tastes like a very strong margarita. It's literally a 4-pack, bitch, like $13. Hello, inflation? Or is that like...
The fact that they come in 4-packs should be a sign alone, because it's like, you can't do 6 at a time?
I thought the same thing. Yeah, it's definitely no seltzer water, I'll tell you that. But anyway, I had to drink because I was researching one of our topics, which was Fousey Tube, and I shit you
not, required a drink.
It required, like, I literally had to rant to my husband for an hour. So it required a lot of mental, you know, mental power. But I am here and I am ready for this episode. It's the weekend, okay? It's a freaking weekend. Did I just quote R. Kelly? No.
We haven't even pulled clips for the first topic, but I feel like I could just go on Twitter and find.
What was the first topic?
XQC.
Oh my God. That's so funny that we're talking.
Two streamers we're talking about today.
I know, we are talking about two streamers. You know, when you go live, things happen. We know that because every time we've gone live, it's been a horrid disaster.
I was like, notice we haven't been live in months because Jesse refuses.
Honestly, the way that going live gives me hives is actually absurd. But you got to be careful when you're going live. There is a reason why H3 had to, you know, invest in a button that could erase, you know, shit that would get him canceled, because you speak candidly. I mean, we heavily edit these episodes, obviously, and you just got to watch what you're saying. But XQC, if you don't know who he is a streamer that used to be very popular on Twitch. Is he still on Twitch?
I was just going to ask you, tell me about him, actually.
Honestly.
I know his name and that's about
it. So the most that I know about XQC is through H3. So the lore may be minimal, but what I do know is that XQC was involved in the Twitch like gambling schemes. You know, that like people would basically stream themselves gambling, and apparently, allegedly, what they would do is they would have like an affiliation with these companies, so they would have a more like a higher likelihood to win, and so they'd be displaying that to their followers, and their followers would get in on this gambling, which is like literally slots,
thinking that they were gonna win the same
amount. And it was like slots and like shit that's like we're in Vegas but online, and people didn't see the same return.
It seems like these streamers get to a point where they really don't care anymore, like they're fine putting on this kind of show because they get
I think it's that when you stream for a certain amount of time, you literally cannot be able to fake it for that long. I feel like people can hold their composure for a certain amount of time, but if you're on camera for 35 days, Fousey Tube, you're gonna break and you're gonna show who you really are. That's just like inevitable. So I feel like they just kind of start like seeping through the cracks.
Yeah, or though I think sometimes they'll do stuff that they know is gonna get people kind of riled because they think they like don't, they want more viewers and they don't care. But one of the things I noticed, which kind of applies to both of them, the thing I hate most about streamers is how conscious they are of the chat.
You mean when they call them chat? Avid Fortnite streamer, streamer watcher,
you're like, I do it too.
No, absolutely not. No, I can't. Like, I only watch the ones that do not. Oh my God, there is one that like they're like very streamer forward, and they'll be like, come on chat, we need this many more tiny diny gifts, like we need this and that, and chat, what are you talking about, and chat this and chat that, and I'm like,
it's like they're referring to it like it's its own entity. And I like, I'll watch like even like Adam McIntyre will repost his streams to his YouTube channel, so it's like I've seen that and it doesn't bother me when he's like, one's in the chat if this, or like W's different. In the chat if that. Like that's fine, I get it. But this I thought is interesting because I don't know. I guess it applies to Fousey more than XQC.
You have no idea.
They'll be having conversations with people like on the stream in real life, people that are there, but they're like only kind of half in it. Because they're consciously looking more at the chat than they are at the conversation. And it bothers me so much.
I don't know how much you've seen of the Fousey thing, but you have no, like, literally, it is like, how much humanity have you lost as a streamer that you're having all actual conversations with people in real life that are tangible? You could touch them. And you're like, thanks for the subscribe. Thanks for subscribing.
That's the thing. It's like you can see them, like their eyes kind of like will go over. And I'm like, oh my God, you're not even 100% in that conversation. It's so weird.
It's the streamer disease. We should make a name for it, but it's that.
Twitchitis.
Twitchitis.
Ironically, I don't think they're
all. Is that where Fousey is?
They're not all on Twitch.
No, they're not, you know.
No, he's on Kick.
Is that where he's on? I couldn't find him on YouTube. I was
he
like,
just
why
signed. Supposedly, he just signed like a huge deal with.
Isn't
them.
Kick like where all the predators used to message us as children?
I think so. I think it was. I was too old for it, but I think you're.
I definitely experienced
sure.
some things on that app. I'll say.
But I thought it was like. I'm sorry for jumping ahead to Fousey even, but
it's all connected.
He supposedly signed some deal, and I'm like thinking to myself, who in their right mind would sign, like, I get that he's getting, like, a lot of people are watching him, but what, why would you ever get into a business deal with
have
him?
Have you like, literally been in this business so long that you don't realize that people don't give a fuck about anyone's, like, anything?
I mean, I
they
guess,
only care
like,
about immediate, like, return on investment. That's all they care about.
But, like, legally, why would you want to get into business? I don't know.
Because there's probably a clause that they can drop him whenever. And they're like, well, we'll make money that's off true, of this guy true. As long as we can.
Well, so, back to XQC.
Where's he from?
I don't know. He has, like, a hint of an accent.
Not a hint,
but
girl.
It's
he's got a thick
well,
accent.
I mean, it's hard to even pick it up because he talks so fucking yes. fast that it's like, I saw comments that's like, it's as if XQC is, like, on 2x speed
Quebec.
At all times.
Quebec. Oh, my God. Is he French, like my husband?
I mean, it's in Canada, but they are French, yes.
Gotcha.
I don't know how XQC first got big, but currently one of his big, his like main thing that he does is reacts to videos. And I know that this has been kind of controversial for a lot of streamers on like whether that's okay to be reacting to videos because it'll be like, I mean, even like Hassan will react to stuff where it's like, they react to stuff like Sunny V2, like where it's kind of documentary type stuff. So then they don't have to get the information themselves and they could just like react to someone else telling them. And someone like Hassan gives a lot of commentary. So it seems like they're adding something to it. You
Which
wouldn't
would be
go
fair
watch
use
the video.
Versus just sitting
exactly.
there watching it.
And the people watching it aren't going to see the original video. They're going to see his commentary. But apparently the problem with XQC is that he doesn't really add much commentary. He just watches these videos, but then I guess at times he's like left the room for multiple minutes and like he's just playing someone else's content and having people watch it there. And then he uses the exact, he takes their thumbnail and then he just puts his face on top of it. So then that person doesn't end up getting that many views because all of the people just go to his channel to watch it.
Okay.
Because he's more popular and it comes up more in search and stuff. So Ethan had a big problem with that. Ethan has him on. I don't know if who like prompted like if he wanted to come on and talk about it or if Ethan was the one to like invite him. But Ethan was like publicly shaming him, being like, you steal content, blah, blah.
Well, and that's actually, if you know the lore of it all, that's actually really big for Ethan to do or a big deal because Ethan infamously set the precedent online for fair use because he was sued by Matt Haas, which was someone that he clowned on the internet. And that person sued him and said, that's not fair use. You're using my content. And it was decided that that was fair use. And people have literally used that case to like,
it's precedent for other 100%.
Cases. So for him to call out someone for stealing content is a big deal. Like people need to get that.
And then wouldn't you think if you were XQC, I mean, I don't know if he just didn't really realize how well versed Ethan was in topic,
no,
like,
he knows.
Why would you go
Ethan
on
Ethan has been
for
clowning on XQC forever for the gambling thing, for a million different things. He's been on XQC's ass, so he knows who Ethan is, what he does, what he would have to. But it's important to note that Ethan also reacts to content as well for a long period of time. So,
which XQC brings up in their quote-unquote debate,
like,
if you want to call
he
it
He does
that.
It in a way where he's I mean, literally people get mad at Ethan because he pauses so much. But like he pauses so much to commentate on it, which is what makes it transformative in nature, which is what makes it fair use.
And that's the word that they use. It's like basically XQC will try and like rebuttal Ethan by being like, this wasn't a transformative video around this content because it was him reacting to XQC. And I guess there was like 40 seconds where Ethan didn't say anything. And I'm like, from all the clips I've seen, it seems like XQC's brain does not work because he tries to connect these dots that I'm like, no, that's not the same. Like, what do you, you can't think that, really?
I know that this may be hard for some people to believe, but I have actually not seen the episode with XQC. I have been so busy editing this podcast that I have not been able to see this interview. So this is the first time that I'm seeing a lot of these clips.
And I don't even know which ones to pull up because it's honestly, it's borderline uncomfortable to watch because it's so
interview with
embarrassing. Here, I'm just going to,
yeah, play, pick
I'm just going to start clicking on some. But so basically that's the backstory, is that Ethan is like, you're stealing content from these people and you just don't care. And instead of trying to like make up some excuse about it, XQC basically is like, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Like, what's the problem? The lack of self-awareness is unreal. But I'm just going to start clicking some clips that are popping up at the top of Twitter and we'll see.
Why don't you just apologize to Vince Vintage?
I absolutely will. And I feel I didn't get a Twitter DM. I didn't get nothing. I feel really bad. You want to know why? Because all about the whole sphere of this, everything around it, is to make something good happen, right? And that matters to me a lot.
That's such bullshit, bro. Nice try. You literally do it to enrich yourself. You're a multimillionaire, and you steal content from small creators, and you don't give a fuck about their rights or what they want. And then your only justification is, oh, yeah, you can come chase me down and complain and try to get my attention so I can pay you for the shit I stole. It's total bullshit, bro. You're not creating anything big for anyone. You're just taking attention and views for yourself, and you don't give a fuck about the consequences of that. It's not your decision to make that for other people's property.
You sound like watch out, you sound like Robin Hood or something. Are you like some sort of hero or something like that?
Don't you just apologize to Vince Vintage?
So that person that he's referencing, the Vince person, Ethan apparently reached out to the first person that he saw that XQC had stolen their content. One person. And he was like, yeah, I don't bother claiming him because the Twitter drama would be too, like, yeah, it sucks, but like, I don't really want to deal with the Twitter drama. And then at one point, XQC claims that that guy is a paid actor.
This is, excuse me?
Yeah, it's like literally the stuff that comes out of his mouth. I'm like, what?
I love that though. He was like Con Accord. He's like, what are you, Robin Hood?
Oh, when he attacks Teddy Fresh at one point, and then
because of the copy of the design, that drama.
Yeah, and Ela basically is like, yeah, but we addressed
and they settled it, and they onboarded the designer and gave him like a portion of those. You know nothing. Like, I know more lore than you do, bitch. Not me like going to town for Ela, but like literally, I will die for her. Should I comment on? He's a multimillionaire. He has the worst bleach job I've ever seen in my life. I know that's like very superficial, not the point, but it does always befuddle me where I'm just like, girl, if I had your money, I'd be getting that bleach and tone every day. Not every day.
I mean, speaking of his money, the amount of times he tries to like win the argument by being like, I'm rich and you're not.
That Ethan's not?
Well, he like at one point he even DM'd, oh, we'll get to that after.
Transformation. Then if we want to move on to that topic, let's just get some of your I think your wife's old merch, right? Which is a direct.
Oh, yes. I love this topic.
I saw that. I've seen it. Some of the arguments you had against it. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I think I changed the angle by. That's gonna be transformative, right? Ethan, come on.
Company with 30 employees. And by the way, I love whenever someone's losing a debate to me, they bring this up. It's literally the lowest hanging fruit. And if you knew anything about me, you know I've talked about this 1,000 times, but I'll address it because you brought it up.
Go ahead.
We have like a whole team of designers, and sometimes our designers are taking stuff way too close to the source. And I agree, and it's not okay.
Give a fuck. So does my editors, which makes us about equal on that topic. So you can steal sometimes when somebody gets confused at the company.
You want to?
When one of the sweatshop guys gets it wrong.
Hold on.
Oh, my bad. But when my editor gets it wrong, oh no, we are thieving.
Hold on. Let me finish my point.
Yeah, bring out Gila. Hey, bring him in.
Hold on. Let me finish my point.
Your husband is balding.
Okay, side note, he keeps like saying that he's balding, and Ethan keeps being like, that's factually like.
Oh, wait. XQC says that Ethan's balding.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, you know that Ethan's ongoing like hairline joke?
No.
Ethan literally like is the hairline king, and like everyone has a weaker hairline than Ethan, and he has like the most strong, like he says that's the only thing he has going for himself is that he has the strongest hairline, and like he literally is like, that's the one thing I fucking have him for him to say.
That's the thing. I was like, say what you want about his appearance, but like if anything, I would say he has a proceeding hairline, not a receding one.
Yes, that's what makes him the hairline king. It's a very strong hairline. But oh my god, that's so funny. And honestly, say what you want about Ela, say what you want about Ethan, her fucking being like, I'm gonna go sit down and talk about this. Like, that is the bad fucking bitch that I know, and I just love her.
They definitely, like, he thinks, that's the weird part about this whole debate, is that XQC is so unself-aware that he thinks that he has all these gotcha moments. And it's like,
but that's what they do. So there's people like this, when they're involved in this type of drama, people are feeding them a lot of shit and they don't look it up for themselves. So like he literally is like, I have all this ammo, but like he doesn't actually know what the fuck he's talking about, and it's very embarrassing for them because it's like, I who am a watcher of H3, which is not apparent because I haven't seen this episode and it's like old at this point, but like literally, like I know the lore of the H3 like stolen design thing because Keemstar tried to make a big deal out of it, and then it was all addressed and they worked with the artist and everything. But like, you're a fucking dumbass, like you're just actually fucking dumb. And he literally is like all hyper being like, so I can steal. So you can steal and I can steal. It's like,
he gets so hyped up and so like, and he's like way too excited about it. Like even just very calmly shuts him down.
Oh, I love this.
Okay, dude, the fact that you're coming for my hairline just proves how fucking delusional your whole, that's a metaphor for your all of your arguments. We have a fairly large company. This is a common problem in all streetwear. We've had.
Also that he referred to it as like his wife's merch company. I'm like, that's not really
that's
how
a
I would
funny
describe
way to say Teddy Fresh.
But, okay. Yeah.
Pretty much close to stole designs. We fired people over it. And every time it comes up, we have company meetings and say, guys, this is unacceptable. If you're caught doing this, you will be fired.
And we've made a strict guideline and it doesn't happen anymore.
What have
it
you
hasn't
done?
Happened.
What have you done to prevent it?
Okay. So this is really good. You done?
Okay. That's what you sounded like. I'm
like
just being silly. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I don't know how you put up with this shit. I would fucking leave his ass.
I'm having a third child with him.
Oh, you're getting divorced. Wait, XUC didn't even say we're getting divorced yet. Go ahead.
XUC is getting
divorced. You know, our four-year-old, though, would love your giraffe.
Okay. So let me just
Ela came to defend Teddy Fresh because you're talking about her business.
I actually wasn't planning to come in, but you brought up Teddy Fresh. Listen, then talk to me because I'm the person running Teddy Fresh, not him.
Yes.
You want to talk about it?
I understand, Ela, is that sometimes some things happen or it's somebody else's fault. It's a mistake. Mm-hmm. It's a whatever, right? And some things just kind of happen, right? It's just kind of human nature and just the course of time.
And the question is, what do you do about it?
Yeah, what are you doing about it on a daily basis?
I took action about it and it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Since things came up online, people pointed out to us, we had meetings at the office, we made guidelines, when we work with new graphic
What are you
designs,
doing about it? That's the question.
What are you doing? It would be different if I came here and I said, I don't care. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm distributing to those guys who made the original graphic. I'm making their life better while I'm sitting in a Gucci shirt, you know?
Okay. That was like $1,000 is what it is.
That alone? I'm like,
what did he say?
That was like $1,000 because he's wearing a Gucci shirt. His shirt.
Oh my God.
It's so embarrassing. Like,
what does he mean by that though?
He just thinks that means he's cool, is that he has an expensive shirt.
You have an expensive shirt and the worst bleach job I've ever seen. What are you talking about? It's giving literally me when I had my abuela dye my hair in high school because I wanted so badly to be blonde. Are you actually joking? Like, what is he even on about? He's so embarrassing.
It's so weird.
When you are on the high road, it is a thin fucking road when on the high road, okay? Because you have to be really tight with what you do, the things that you say and how you act, right?
I think he's doing fine. He's live every day for hours.
Please,
so.
please, I'm talking to Ethan or you, don't interrupt me. Okay,
Are we done talking about Teddy Fresh?
Yeah, if we're done talking about Teddy Fresh, it'd be better because I don't want to feel like we're getting up.
Get out, thief, before I fucking Robin Hood this shit, before I start spreading the wealth of your company to other people. Holy shit, I'm about to come at you guys with things and designs. Jesus Christ, bro.
That worm thing?
What is that? Why am I seeing his feet? Why am I seeing the sole of his feet?
We need to find that clip because that happened in this stream.
First of all, the actual rage that I feel in my soul. Don't you ever fucking speak to Ela like that again.
I know.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't you ever fucking come for Ela like that. Like, I don't, Ethan has much better composure than me and my husband, because if someone spoke to me like that in front of my husband, he'd lose his fucking mind. Like, the disrespect, that makes me very angry. He is full of shit. He is a known fucking swindler, non-honest person who'll do fucking anything for money. Honestly, he will do just about anything, even conning his fucking followers, because he's a gambler and works with these companies. Like, he's known for that. That's why he got big. So, like, you're not...
I wish that I saw a clip even later of him talking to someone else about this, and he literally flat out says, like, I don't give a fuck. I make a lot of money from it.
That's obvious. Your entire aura just oozes fucking bullshit. Yeah. Like, honestly. And the fact that he's so uneducated and loud.
But then my question is, who watches him?
Probably fucking teenage children. Have you seen? Well, I just came across, like, honestly, a lot of these kids on Twitch and stuff. I see a lot of parents worried about their kids on, like, YouTube and stuff. And yeah, valid. But, like, the live streaming community, the gaming communities, all of that is extremely dangerous. And it's, I mean, I'm so talking weird. To the point that, like, grown men, quote unquote, are harassing women on, like, games and stuff. And, like, I will never play, like, Fortnite on, like, Phil's on Squad and, like, talk to men, because they will straight up tell you, like, the most heinous shit you've ever heard. So, like, all of this community is very, very toxic in a lot of ways. And XQC can honestly get wrecked.
What percentage of people would you say you get permission from?
The majority. Quite honestly, when it comes to small creators, I have never had any pushback, right? So no victims in that case.
Okay, that's perfect. Have you heard of a guy named Vince Vintage? You reacted to two of his videos. So yeah. So would you consider this guy a small creator? He doesn't have a lot of subs. Okay, why didn't you ask him for permission?
I don't know. Did he complain? Because at this point, I don't know if I have a victim, right? I don't know. So I didn't do.
Well, you do, actually. And what's funny is reached out to one random person from your recent reacts, just one, because
It's just one. It was only one, for sure.
Yeah, no, I swear to God, I just reached out, and I'm going to read you the message he sent me. He said, "Really appreciate you reaching out, Ethan. I've never been contacted by XQC at all for any of my react videos. My personal take is this: I love big streamers watching, like XQC, Hassan, Mizkif, Moist Critical, watching my videos on their stream. It's a big ego boost, but when XQC does it, it's different. When he watches my video, he always re-uploads the whole thing on his YouTube channel with his insightful commentary as, wow, chat, isn't this crazy? Compared to when Hassan watched my stuff, he shouted me out and he says he loves my stuff and he sent a bunch of subscribers to my channel. A fair exchange. XQC, he really just steals my shit, entertains his audience off hundreds of hours I put into my videos while I get just a link in the YouTube description. The problem isn't the reacting, it's the re-uploading of my video with his face on the thumbnail, and also and I don't DMCA him because I don't want the Twitter drama."
He doesn't want the Twitter drama.
Wait, why are you, well, hold on. This guy says you stole his shit. Why are you denigrating that? I think you should take this seriously.
Well, because one, he's a paid actor, right? Which, huh? I think, well, that's a paid actor, 100%.
Wait, what?
What? First of all, I don't even understand how he's able to get... I mean, he doesn't actually get the words out. They're all kind of mumbled together. But, like, he talks so fast. You can barely understand what he's saying. And then a paid actor? What do you... What? Who's paying them?
I don't know.
You're not?
Wait, what? What did you say?
It's a paid actor.
He's a paid actor?
Yeah, he would be a data outlier of a person who doesn't like it, to recurve that, and I will de-damage him for every dollar that he has lost. I would be more than happy to give him 10 times 10x whatever damage was caused.
Okay, good. He'll reach out. Have you ever paid anybody 10x before? Has that ever happened?
We have de-damaged people times? Before. So what you're saying is that you went digging for victims.
Messaged one dude. The fact that you're using the same title and the same thumbnail.
That.
It's so parasitic. It's so shady. God. You are only doing that to siphon off views and confuse people. There is no other reason for that. Why would you use the same exact title and the same exact thumbnail? Explain that to me. Just answer that.
Oh, because I wanted to.
Why did you want to?
Oh, because I wanted to.
Why did you want to?
Because the thumbnail is good and it gives the viewer what they want.
Right.
And,
which is the original video. They want the original video.
People would rather watch me full screen cam do the fucking worm
do
than
that.
Watch your prime
bro,
than watch your
do
prime
it for
content.
A week. Do a week of no reaction content and see how many fucking views you get.
Oh my god,
oh, he's crying
this?
In the corner.
This is real.
Okay, sure. I mean, that's content, man. It's, it's original content, at least. Like yes, it? Do that, bro. Dude, I don't think you have anything else interesting to say, so I think we can wrap
it
up.
It's just the problem is that you're running.
How long
so
do you want me to sit here and listen to you, see, watch you crawl around on the ground like a worm? I mean, I have a show to do, dude. Unlike you, I actually fucking organize and put work into my show. I understand for you, you're just burning time. You could sit here for 12 hours. That'd make your life easier. You wouldn't have to go steal videos. But me, I plan this. I have a show. I have a schedule. This is stop being interesting because you're just sitting there saying silly shit and doing the worm.
A few minutes later.
L3, fucking L3. How did I lose? Whatever. I'll call Destiny.
Hey, well, what's up, buddy?
How'd that go, like? Did you watch it or not?
I watched it, yeah.
How did I do? Tell me how, actually. Just don't show it up. If I did really bad, you just tell me. I don't care.
I'd put it between... I'd give you a 2.5 on a 10 scale. I know for a fact, 1,000,000,000%. We can come back in 2 years and revisit this, but he's absolutely not mad. That conversation probably went better than he could have ever expected it. He had you crawling around like a worm on his screen while he was, like, getting you point after point after point after point after point.
I, like, don't even have that, like, I feel like we aren't even making this transformative content because I don't even have that much to say because it's just like,
oh my god, not us being content stealers.
I know. No, I think really, it's so funny, though, because it's like, what are you doing?
I mean, it's very on brand for everything I've seen of him online, and he's just a clown. Like, I feel like he is trying to defend something that he doesn't even believe in at all. So, like, he doesn't have, like, a strong enough stance on his own content to have an eloquent response on, like, why it's valid. So it's just like, okay.
Well, yeah, I don't think he has an eloquent response for anything.
No,
but
true.
It's just interesting that he would, one, want to go on and debate about something that he doesn't even deny that he does. The entire stance is so strange. And then he gets so mad at Ethan, like, whenever he tries to leave, he keeps going like, but we haven't gone through all the points.
Thank you, buddy. It was a good chat. I think we've done a good job at getting to the heart of what you care about. And how you feel about taking people's videos, I think it was illuminating. I think we had a really good conversation.
Oh my God, it's Jover.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you have anything else interesting to say, so I think we can wrap it up.
Really? Well, I think your audience thinks I have something interesting to say.
And it's like, bro,
I think you went through all the points.
Like, what more do you need to say?
We've went through enough points.
It's so weird. We could watch more, but it's all pretty much the same shit. And I just, like, it blew my mind that it's real. He feels like a character of... a Twitch streamer.
Speaking of characters, our next topic is actually fucking insane as well. I feel like that was insane, but this was like...
Sir? This one, I feel like we have a little more structure, too.
What's interesting, though, is that Ethan recently had FousseyTube on his channel.
I watched the majority of that interview, not even on purpose. I was watching something else and it autoplayed and I was like, oh, what's Foosie doing? And then I was like, oh, wait, it was when he had been streaming for 20 days straight.
So the reason why I found this so interesting is because what I did see from the stream of H3 was that he did confront Foosie to a certain extent because Foosie has been an ongoing joke on the H3 podcast. They followed him forever. His soundbite of...
something like I'm gay.
Yeah, something about being gay. Fuck. Oh my God, I cannot. Really? That is literally the most popular fucking soundbite, and I literally can't think of it. I'm such a flop.
A long time I looked at myself in the mirror and I based myself based on what I read on the comments. I felt worthless. I felt ugly. I felt gay. I felt that that just based on what they told me.
It was a soundbite of him being gay, and it's been this ongoing joke on H3, and Foosie has been an ongoing joke on H3, and he had him on. So when he had him on, I was very interested in, like, what are they gonna even ask him? Ethan basically did talk to him about his mental health, what Foosie was even feeling about, like, streaming for so long. So if you don't know, Foosie has done this thing recently that's called, first of all, if you don't know who FousseyTube is...
Yeah, I was going to say, should we back up even further?
Yes, we should. Yeah, so FousseyTube is a YouTuber who's been around for a very long time. He was one of the original prank YouTubers. So he used to do a bunch of pranks on YouTube. And he was
pranks
one of the
quotes.
First, or I think he would, like, dub himself as the first YouTuber. That was a prank YouTuber that came out and said that the pranks were fake. Like, that's his thing. He's like, I came out and I said, these are all fake. He has been an interesting character ever since because he just is something else. Like, just... him as a whole, he's just a character.
So he's always been kind of a character, and like even when he was doing the pranks, it was like way over the top and just like very obviously fake. But then what really brought him to, I guess, his peak, but also his downfall, and I'm not here to diagnose, this is based on like stuff he said back in the day, which I think has changed kind of now, but at the time he basically allegedly was going through like a manic episode.
Mm-hmm.
And he claimed, I think on the H3 podcast when he did that interview recently, that it was not like a bipolar manic episode, but that it was like Adderall induced or something.
Correct.
I remember the diagnosis at the time seemed to be that you have like bipolar and that you were in some kind of manic state. But you said that was a misdiagnosis.
So when I was 18, I was in college and I had my first nervous breakdown. All it took was, I think, one or two evaluations. And she goes, yeah, from what you said, you're bipolar. And I took it. I took it around with it for my whole life. Even took bipolar medication, everything. 2021, after the Reality High incident where I got knocked out by Bryce Hall, I get sent to a rehab in Caron, Pennsylvania. And they do a 30-day intense eval with many therapists, daily, everything. And at the end, they gave me my diagnosis. And they said, Yusuf, you have no signs of bipolar. You're severely depressed. You suffer from depression, but no signs of bipolar. And I've always thought that because July 15th was the only manic thing I've ever had.
Yeah,
you know, it's highs and lows. I don't have any highs. I only have lows.
You said you had an Adderall-fueled psychosis.
When I started taking Adderall before July 15th, the way I described it to people was I finally felt like I was supposed to feel in life like God, how God should have made me, which is the most taboo thing you can say. God made you exactly as you should be. But I felt like that was who I was supposed to be. I was talkative. I had energy. I wasn't depressed. I was able to work. I wasn't lazy. But obviously, I took advantage of that and started abusing it.
But basically, during this episode, which took place over the course of a couple weeks, I think, he plans this concert. July 15th, is that the date?
July 15th, that is correct.
But he plans this concert, and it's going to be a free concert, so you didn't have to buy tickets. And he was holding it at the Greek, which is a venue in LA that is a decent size. It's all outside, really nice. He paid for it all out of pocket.
You rented out the Greek for this big show.
Mm-hmm.
How much did that cost you?
So here's the thing with that. I paid out of pocket everything. I think the Greek theater alone was like $300,000 something.
Yeah.
But then also paid all the artists first class flights to the LA and their entourage and their bottle service for the hotels, everything.
And then started advertising this concert for free that was going to have Drake perform.
I was there in real time, not at the concert, but
I was like, you what?
No, but wouldn't that, like, I literally would though. Like, that's like such a me
you
thing.
Totally would.
But I didn't. No, I was like in real time watching that all happen. And so he was saying that Drake was going to be there. He was advertising it fully that Drake was going to be there.
And not like, oh, there's a concert that Drake is going to. I mean, that would have been weird too. But it was very like aggressively being like, Drake's gonna be there and he's gonna be on stage. And
what was really weird about it though is that it was simultaneously you were witnessing it being like a manifesting thing. Like he wasn't actually, like Drake wasn't gonna go, but he was like actively saying Drake was gonna go as some weird mechanism to like manifest Drake into going. But then also was streaming or like showing videos of himself being outside of places where he knew Drake was, because he wanted to run into him to like get him to be able to go to the concert. Drake never went to the concert. Drake doesn't know who Fousey Tube is. That was never a thing. So people were very concerned for his mental health, obviously. I mean, that's super alarming.
That aspect, people were already concerned about his mental health. Mm-hmm. But then July 15th rolls around. Plot
Drake
twist.
Doesn't come.
Spoiler alert, Drake doesn't come. There's like a bunch of YouTubers that come to this concert too. And they're all like in this VIP area. And P.S. he's also like paying for their like flights. And like he's paying for all of this stuff that he definitely cannot afford. Not that he wasn't successful before then, but it's like he's paying absurd amounts of money. Like he rented out the Greek. Normal people can't do that. Before the concert really started, I guess some people maybe performed. I don't know any of the names of people that did. It wasn't any like big artists.
The Greek. Hey, one, two, Lil Papi. One, two, three, come on. Like a big, all these bitches on my dick. Hey, fuck me, and they thick. And you know, put this shit. And you know, fucking shit.
There was like a decent amount of people there, and then they have to evacuate the venue because there's a, supposedly, there's a bomb threat.
Oh my God, I forgot that.
Oh my God, that this is the craziest part. So then this leads to everyone having to leave the venue, and they're all just in the parking lot of the Greek.
Yes.
And he like still is under the impression, I don't know if he really was, or he's just like claiming that Drake was still coming or something.
I had Drake come in because I manifested that.
But then it all like comes to a head and turns into him getting on top of his Uber's car, which he then like promises the Uber driver that he's gonna like pay him a bunch of money to or something. But he gets on top of the car and starts going on this like unhinged, crazy rant speech situation where he says, I have bipolar, I have depression.
I have bipolar and depression. That what you put into my head made me want to kill myself.
And he like takes his shirt off and he's like rapping, and it's just like a fever dream of things going on. It's so weird.
Most of that was directed towards Keemstar. He was telling Keemstar that you fucking bullied me, made me want to, you know, unalive myself because of the shit that you said about me on the internet, basically. And
you made me want to commit suicide last year. I wanted to kill myself because of all the attention you gave me. I rewatched videos going viral after the attention you're giving me now of you saying, Boosie is the biggest piece of shit, egotistical asshole on this earth.
And then also, at the same time, Keemstar was making like a multi-part documentary about it all.
Oh my God.
And it's so weird because he participates in some of it. And then also doesn't, it's very strange. But so that basically led to like, it was like a, like some kind of a breakdown, you would say, I guess. And I don't really know how things transpired after that, besides him doing some more interviews and it still being kind of weird. But I think he left the internet.
Yeah, he left the internet for a long time. I do remember a brief amount of time where he said that he was literally done with YouTube and that he was gonna give away his YouTube channel. I remember that vividly. He was like, I'm giving it away. I don't want it. Fuck it. Like, someone else can take it.
He's also always been very, like, I don't know if he actually is doing this or if it's, like, pretending like he's going to, or he says it with the intention of doing it and he doesn't. I don't know what transpires afterwards, but that he like is always like offering to give away a bunch of money. He wants to give away his YouTube channel. He wants to pay this person $100,000 to do
so
this.
So that's
like
an interesting thing that we've come to know recently. So the reason why we're even talking about FousseeTube, that's a basic like, you know, debrief of his past, but there is a reason we're talking about him today, and that's because
he's returned.
Well, he's returned, but he hasn't just returned. He has returned under a very concerning premise. Like, I feel like,
well, especially given the context of why he left the internet, correct, it's concerning of what he's doing now.
Yeah. And again, people have speculated what his mental health issues could be and all that stuff. But all in all, what he's decided to do recently is that he has done a subathon. Do you know what a subathon is?
No.
Well, I do because I'm a Twitch streamer watcher for Fortnite. But basically what a subathon is there's a timer on the screen and it goes down. It's counting down. And every time someone subscribes, it goes up a certain amount of time, and the amount of time that that timer is on the screen, that person needs to stream. Now, the streamers that I watch in general will, like at night when they're sleeping, they'll stream something else. They'll literally put like Gordon Ramsay's like show on, which I don't know the legalities of all that, okay? But they'll
I don't know, okay?
I'm not getting involved in all that, but they literally will do something like that, but they're not gonna film themselves sleeping. And then there's FousseeTube, who calls himself, and we'll see that shortly, he calls himself the real life Truman Show, and he will film himself doing everything under the sun. Sleeping, eating, shitting is how he describes it. That's gotten him into some trouble. Surprise. But like recently, I know one thing that came out that I had seen before all of this was that he was like rapping a song and then he said the N-word. Sleeping on your level because there's beauty in the struggle.
I never used that fucking word.
And then he like really quickly began to like sob and say, I don't say the N-word, and was like slamming on his bed, like so pissed at himself. So like there's like so many things that it's like, maybe don't stream yourself 24/7.
But before anything bad even happened, what was interesting when he went on H3, I think it was at that point he had been streaming for 20 days straight.
Correct.
And he, his new, like, I don't know if it's his channel or he just like refers to it as this, but it's G7, which he refers to as like game seven. The coach puts you in at the last like 0.4 seconds. What are you going to do? Oh, and like, that's the mentality, I guess, behind his, I don't really understand. But so then he was getting such positive feedback, and apparently on Twitch, he got like, cause he had only been on YouTube before. This Twitch thing is a new venture. And he got something like 20,000 subscribers in those 20 days. And it was a new record for Twitch, like the most subscribers anyone had gotten in that short of a time. So at the point that he's doing his interview on H3, he definitely didn't seem, I don't know if it's the right word to use, but manic.
No, I mean, I think that's valid because I know that Ethan even asked him about that. So Ethan said, hey, you've been streaming for this many days straight. Basically what Fousey said is that, number one, I was misdiagnosed as bipolar is what he says. He says, I was diagnosed one time and I never questioned it. And the only like quote unquote manic episode I ever had was at the Greek theater that day. Like that whole event was the only like manic episode. He said, I only have been depressive. I've never been that up and down, which I think, and obviously we're not trying to diagnose him at all, but I think that's like objectively untrue. Like I think that he has been very obviously very up in a lot of situations, whereas someone like being an onlooker is very concerned by it. It's like you're very much like very energetic, and he describes it as like, I'm a lot, like I'm just an intense person. And I'm like, I have people who are very high energy and like quote unquote a lot in life, and it's not this. Like this is an extreme version, but the reason we're talking about him is because he has been streaming for so long. And yes, Ethan had him on and confronted him about it and said, hey, do you think this is like the best thing for your mental health, basically? And he said, you know, this has been great for me. And I have people around me now that have, you know, they tell me no. So like, they're not yes men. I used to have yes men around me and now they're actually telling me no.
And really called out his audience, his new audience, and being like, they really like, I've built this community and they really care about me. And it's like, it's so much healthier than it was before.
People come on YouTube and get burned out because it's intense, man.
No, and it's finally like this time, why the subathon is so important to me is because for once, one, I can't lie. I can't hide my emotions. I can't act like I'm someone I'm not. My camera is on 24/7. They see me for me and they actually fucking like me. Mm. So now it's like, oh my God.
So how do you know that you're not going to, you know, you're getting the validation, you're on all the time. What are you doing to make sure that you don't, you know, go back down the path of overconfidence and ego and all that?
I think I have people to ground me this time. Because before, like when I was successful on YouTube, living alone in 1600 Vine Street, paying $13,000 for a penthouse, but calling it the world's most expensive isolation chamber, I didn't reach out to anybody. I didn't take advice from anybody, not my mom, not my sister. That's why they always say, we told you not to buy the Ferraris. We told you not to do this, but I would listen to nobody. Now I call my mom almost every day. My sister, I talk to regularly. I have real people in my life who really like will put me in check and say, yo, this is happening.
So you're relying on your family to keep you grounded?
Not just my family, also my audience. There's a lot of people who know me really well and they always like send me personal shit on the side if they see something a little awry, but also myself. I hold myself accountable. Like I told them during the subathon, I said the gym is the most important thing in my life right now. Without the gym, there is no subathon. So I go to the gym every day and make them watch me. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing what I need to do to sustain it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a day 20.
Yeah, and people have commented on the fact that it's like, wow, you really like had your redemption arc and now this. Because the reason we're talking about him today is because he filmed, I want to say it was yesterday or the day before when we're filming this, he filmed himself, as he does literally for the last 35 days of his life.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I don't think it's one day in particular. I know you were going to reference a specific thing he did. But like, basically now we have reached, what'd you say, day 35?
Yes, but I'm also wondering how that works because he was on a trip to Toronto, which he's filming himself right now. What we're about to watch is him on the way back from Toronto to the States. And I'm like, how do you like stream yourself in the air? Like you can't. So it's
I think
stop.
He must stop when he's in the air, but he does it like up until he's about to take off. Like he's doing it on the plane when he's boarding and then he stops then.
Like you have it on in security and shit. Like it's literally an insane
amount. Well, yeah, no, but that was one of the things that even Ethan was calling him out on, because I guess he also has it so like people can do donations and then it says out loud whatever they type. He wanted to keep it streaming during TSA and put it in the thing and just like keep it going. But then people were gonna like, basically they were gonna like type bomb threats and stuff. So Ethan was like, no, don't do that. And like, that was even how they got connected, because Ethan was trying to get him to not do something that was gonna like literally get him arrested.
Yeah, I think that a common thread with Fousey is that he
doesn't know when to stop.
Very naive. Yeah, well, he doesn't know when to stop, but he's also very naive. Like he's navigating all of this as if it's not that serious. And it's like, dude, you're filming yourself 24/7. Number one, that's already fucked up. But number two, like, I don't even know how to preface all of this that we're about to get into, because I was like planning on, okay, I'll just show like one thing or two things. And I have like 45 timestamps. So let's just get into it.
One more thing to preface though, is that he, in the H3 interview, says that he has not drank since he was on, because also other aspects, sorry, there's so much weird background. This is very all over the place story. But he was on that show, The Reality House, and he got punched and knocked out by Bryce Hall.
Is that what he did? Is that what he did?
I promise. I promise.
And that was after he had put his hands on one of the girls in the house. And apparently he was like super blacked out during that thing, which like you watch the clips, it does seem like, I mean, not that that excuses it by any stretch, but he says that that was the last time he ever drank and that he's totally sober now, which didn't feel like the case when I was watching some of these clips.
Or honestly, any recent clips from watching Fousey, it's like very interesting to watch him, but whatever. So this is the introduction of what we're going to be talking about. I want to just show it and then we'll just start rolling because it's hard to preface.
Yeah, I was like, and trigger warning, there's sex trafficking stuff involved and it's just kind of uncomfortable to watch.
Oh, I'm emphatically such a bad person. I'm such a dickhead. I'm not. I'm a great person.
I can tell.
How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm so good. But I have like 5 hours. My name's Yusuf. What's yours?
I'm so Sarah.
Sarah? Hi, Sarah.
That's the introduction. It's him introducing himself to a woman in the airport. Her name is Sarah. So seems fair enough, right? Gets worse, I promise. So he almost immediately starts love bombing her. I'm talking like 17 minutes in, he's telling her that he absolutely like loves her. And it might have happened sooner on, but that's the one that I caught. But this is him describing what he does right now, which I found interesting.
Wait, why are you running? What are you doing? So I'm live, right? I've been live for 35 days. Straight? I travel straight. I'm like the real life Truman Show. Yes, they watch
that's
me sleep,
fucked up.
They watch me shower, they watch me kiss girls, they watch me fall in love, they watch me shit. So I took them to Toronto this weekend, we partied, and now we're going back to LA, then we're going to Vegas this weekend. You want to go to Vegas?
I've been to Vegas one time.
You want to go?
My 21st birthday. What do you do there?
I haven't been there since I was 21.
I shit you not, he has known this girl for 15 minutes and 27 seconds, and he is asking her if she wants to come to Las Vegas with him. She is obviously intoxicated. Okay. And he is completely sober. Admittedly, just like Lily said, he does not drink alcohol. So he's there asking this woman if she wants to come to Las Vegas with him. So that's already fucking weird. I'm sorry, but I already think that's weird.
And also, did you notice how his eye, like watch his eyes in all of these clips. They continuously like dart back to the chat.
Uh-huh. It's bad.
You can tell he's so aware of being filmed that it makes the whole thing even stranger.
For sure. This is a first time that I caught that he told her he loved her at 17 minutes.
My Toronto weekend is ending. I had such a like bad and good weekend. But the fact that I'm ending it with kissing Sarah from the airport. I love you so much. I love you. You're so fun. I am sweet. Thank you. I like to be sweet to women. I love women.
Does that not actually make you want to die?
Like, I'm not going to say I haven't gotten drunk in the airport and chatted up with strangers at the bars, but, like, this is so, like, if I was the bartender watching all this happen, I'd be like, what is going on?
Oh, that's a whole another level. That's funny that you mentioned that.
And my audience recognized that immediately because I'm very, like, exuberant. I'm very loud. I'm very big.
I feel you.
And everybody else is like this.
I don't know, I feel you.
Don't look at me. Don't talk to me. So the fact that I can come to you and say, can I get a hug?
Yeah. Oh, you're so sweet.
You kissed me.
So
can I kiss you? Can I get a kiss?
You're so nice.
So that was their first kiss. He just asks her for a kiss. And then they have a second kiss on camera, of course.
Can I get another kiss? Yeah. You're so cute.
First of all, the way he interacts with people in general, men and women, honestly, throughout all of his streams makes me so uncomfortable because he always gets so, so close to them.
Yeah, he's very close. He's also, I mean, this is classified and people have speculated, but I honestly agree, in my opinion, this is love bombing. Like, it's like this weird, you're so cute, let's go to Vegas, I love you. You haven't known this person for 20 minutes. Like, this is not okay.
It's 100% like if you're like really drunk and you meet a guy really drunk at like a club and you're like dancing together and then suddenly it's like, oh my God, we're in love. Like, it doesn't.
But it's also a different thing if like you're both drunk, but he's not.
Exactly.
Drunk.
That's why it's even weirder. So and because he does it all the time. He does it with like everyone he meets. As if it's almost like a game to him. It's like, can I get this person to reciprocate if I
for
just
sure.
like.
It seems like that. So then he does a third kiss and his reasoning is interesting.
This is the one I saw. This is on Twitter. Someone had tagged us in one and I was like, what is happening? And it wasn't even this. It was like him yelling at people in Vegas. Then I kept scrolling down after searching him. And I think I watched like 15 to 20 clips. And each one was like, what is happening? And then this one came up and I was like, what is happening?
So I want to piss off my audience, right? I have a Discord, right? Mm-hmm. With like 8,000 members. Can I send them a picture of me and you kissing? To piss them off?
Yeah.
They've been mean to me this weekend. Give me a kiss, please. Thank you. They're gonna cancel me for this. I don't care, though.
I don't know, but the fact that he knew that, like, some weird part of him knew that everything he was doing was fucked up is like, yeah.
Well, then, you think? As if this alone in a vacuum isn't weird enough.
And then it gets so much worse. It gets so much worse. So he very soon after tells her to stop drinking because I think he realizes. So this is allegedly her second drink. He bought it for her, by the way. So she had her original drink. She seems like she's had more. But honestly, could be maybe she doesn't drink that much. And like that was her first like cocktail and she got kind of tipsy, whatever. But he bought her second drink. He said, it's on me. Put it on my tab. And then at this fucking timestamp, he tells her like, stop drinking, like you've had enough. So he recognizes she's tipsy otherwise.
Stop drinking, you're good.
Also, even, and I don't, this is completely speculative and I'm not saying this is true, but when people are at the airport too, you don't know, like sometimes people mix some Xanax for anxiety for flying and stuff.
For
so
sure.
It's like maybe she did only have two drinks.
Ambien and shit.
But yeah, exactly. Any kind of medication can really exacerbate that. And she seems not sober at all. From the second we meet her, she's not sober. And then it just gets progressively more questionable.
It's so weird because they get into so many like side conversations, but she notices that he has tattoos on his arm. And so they start talking about that. And then she goes into the story behind her tattoos. And that's where shit really starts going off the rails.
Right above my dick, so you can see that one.
I got one right here too.
Can I see it? Oh my God. What does that mean?
So, that's a dude's name.
Sarah, I can't be with you now. No, I can't. I can't.
No, so.
Is that your baby daddy?
No.
Sarah!
Listen.
What
the
fuck? I thought we had something.
Listen. So I got sold into the sex trade.
You got sold in the sex trade?
I
actually care about this shit because I'm like an advocate for like against sex trading and all that shit. What happened?
I'm like, shut up.
He was trying to make me a lot lizard recently.
A what?
A lot lizard. I like
that.
Yeah, I get it.
First of all, thank you for sharing. I appreciate you being this honest. This is a real conversation.
No, it's real. It
my audience might not understand, but I've been there. I used to be a sex addict. So I used prostitutes for years. I used massage parlors for years. So I understand.
Yeah, so
I'm glad.
He starts that by being like, I've been there, as if he's been trafficked. And I'm like, what is happening?
This is, and make no f***ing mistake, this is not funny at all. This is not funny
absurd.
At all. I am so baffled. And maybe this is an extreme example. Okay, yeah, clock me for it. But like, that's literally like being like, oh my God, you were sexually abused? I get that. I sexually abuse people. Like, that's actually what you're saying. I'm so
technically
confused.
Technically, yes, because his connection to it is that he has benefited from sex trafficking, basically.
Well, and also, as we get into later, he actually admits to, yes, he has been with women that he knew did not want to be there.
But then he adamantly denies that later, saying, well, I didn't know. It's just like a high probability they probably were because he used to go to massage parlors and get, he would pay for sex.
This is just like, the way he said it, I'm like, the way I would have laughed in his fucking face, like, this girl's an angel. Like, I would have actually clowned his ass. Like, just like, oh, you get it. Because you've done it.
Literally. But well, it's concerning though, because she, you can tell from like the beginning, is super into this. Like, she's being touchy-feely. It's not like he's like being creepy and she's not reciprocating. Like, she is reciprocating, but she's also drunk. And then she just tells you that she was in the sex trade and you are using that as a way, like, he uses then his thing as like, oh, another way in to like have something in common. And I'm like, huh?
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, that's, girl, we're not going to bond over this.
Yeah, like, like, literally, I'm like, you're not trauma bonded. She is, like, still going through something, clearly. And you are using that to your advantage to be like, oh, I understand where you've been. I'm like, because you participate? Like, what?
After this interesting bonding moment, they then have, like, very emotional moments where they're both actually, like, sobbing together, which is interesting.
Oh, but I don't
they're
think both, I like, even saw those.
Oh, yeah. They're both, like, crying. They're, like, holding their heads to each other and just bonding over what they're speaking about. And then he decides that they need a private moment.
That's why I'm happy to be out. Can I talk to you privately off camera for a second?
Of course.
Come in. Not even on weird shit. I really want to have a conversation with you. I really want to have a conversation with you.
No, I understand.
So they walk to the back. They start talking and hugging.
Are they even kissing right there?
I don't know if they're kissing, but it kind of seems like they might be. Leaving their bags, which, like,
you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, that's a thing at a fucking airport. It's like, if you see something, say something. And it's like, do not leave your bags alone because that could be something bad.
It's also weird how okay she is with the fact that he is streaming this to thousands of people.
One of the things that did happen that made them very emotional is that he donated, I believe it was $300 or $500 to her. $300
to Blondie.
What happened basically is that he wanted to give her the money because she wanted that tattoo of the man who sold her into sex trafficking. She wanted it removed and she couldn't afford it. And he said, I want that to be removed and I will pay for it. And so she was really emotional over him donating, but also his chat donating. So I think in total, she got a couple $1,000s because chat donated like $2,700 to her as well or something similar to that. And so she was really emotional. He was really emotional.
When he's doing it though, I got gross vibes because he then, of course, donates it and then spends like a minute showing the camera, like that he did it to the chat. And it's like
100%. It's giving like, are you homeless? Like the people that like hold it up to homeless people and they're like, do you need food? Like, okay, we get it. So they have this moment. Then he turns the camera around to, I shit you not, the airport bartender who has unfortunately had to witness this whole conversation happen because there's like three people at the bar. For the next, like, I want to say 7 minutes to 10 minutes, it is just the airport bartender, because he turns the phone around. The airport bartender like takes their bags and just like literally it just live streams to his thousands and thousands of viewers. Just the airport bar. Okay. Which is so fucking weird. Is it not?
It's weird even that they're letting him do that. Like, I'm like, why is everyone so fine with this?
I thought the same thing. I'm like, I know that first of all, I would never have the courage to ask anyone to do this. But like, if I did, or you know what? Maybe this speaks to like, maybe if you have the courage to ask people to do things, they might just do it. Cause like, what is this? This is something that absolutely should not have been allowed.
One, also, I guess I forget like how many people are like, that's alluring to a lot of people, that it's like, oh, you have a lot of followers. Maybe. People are watching you and that they think that's cool. But it's like, for me, that's like, I don't want that many people seeing me in like a vulnerable situation also. Like, and she's like telling him all this stuff. It's just
it's
weird.
Bad. So then he returns from his hiatus and spins the camera.
You can hear him running.
Sorry. I just joined the Mile High Club. And I know it doesn't count as the Mile High Club because I was in the airport, but I still joined it. I swear to God. I swear on everything I love. I just joined the Mile High Club in the airport, in the men's bathroom.
I know he says he's sober, but like,
he doesn't seem it.
This not seem sober to you? Like, and not, this doesn't seem like manic, I'm acting energetic. Like, it's like he's slurring his words and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
God. Well, I had to confess. I couldn't hold it for a fucking second. I didn't go to buy her no fucking snacks.
Basically, what's happening, he comes back from his, literally, the last thing we remember is they're sobbing together. We need to go have a private conversation. He comes back and says, I fucked her. Is basically what he's telling thousands of people. Which, by the way, if it's true, if it's not true, there's a lot of speculation on that. Literally, this girl has just told you that she was sold into sex trafficking, disrespected by men time after time after fucking time. You want to act like the sweet motherfucker and you want to come onto your audience of thousands of people and say, I fucked her. Like, fuck you for that. Whether it's true, whether it's not true, fuck you for that. That is so foul. But basically, shortly after he says this bullshit, she comes in, and it's interesting, his immediate response to her coming in.
That's, I didn't even see this. Because when I first saw that part, that clip was separate from the sex trafficking stuff on Twitter. So yeah. I only saw that before I even heard about the sex trafficking stuff. And I was grossed out by it, even if she hadn't said any of that. For so sure. Then to find out that that all prefaced it, it's like, what are you doing? Again, it doesn't feel like the actions of a sober person.
At all.
Yeah. You got more money? How much? $2,495? Let's get it. Hey, and by the way, to everybody I was joking around with before, it was actually a prank, so please respect her and don't disrespect her right now. That was fucked up of me to do as, like, this is a prank and everything. She did not do anything. She's a woman of two. She loves her children. So please respect that. No. I pranked them. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
No. I'm not fine. I disrespected you by pranking them. I didn't think of you and your emotions, and I pranked them, but I...
You didn't think of her and her emotions after she just told you that she was a victim of trafficking? Literally, what the...
Like, we're not talking about something you did a year ago. We're talking about 2 minutes ago, bro. What the
Like, all of this has transpired in 20 minutes.
I'm so confused.
It's breaking my heart because she is so
trusting,
like, gaga over him, because he also just got her like $2,500.
I know.
To go get the tattoo removed or whatever. But I know he also mentions it at one point to go, like, visit her kids or something.
Yeah, she says that she's a maid and that, you know, all that stuff. So people were donating to her. So she was very excited about that. And so obviously she's not under any circumstance going to confront this man on his stream of people who are donating to her. It's not going to happen.
Oh my God. It's just making me so uncomfortable.
It's okay. It starts out, you know, like that.
And then I know, but I was rude. Trust me, I was rude. But I lost one of my headphones, so we're good at the end of the day.
What?
Karma came for you.
No. I lost one of my headphones. Fuck. But no. I played an actual bad prank on you, and I apologize.
What was it?
I told them that... I don't even want to explain it. Can I get a Diet Coke? Can I get a Diet Coke? It was fucked up. I need to get better at doing my pranks. And I use your expense and your livelihood for my gratification. And I shouldn't do that. So I apologize. Can I get a Diet Coke, please?
Tell me.
No, actually, I apologize. I'm gonna own this. You won't get mad at me? You won't get mad at me?
No.
Say you swear to God you won't get mad at me.
I promise.
I came back and I had a lot of adrenaline, and I lied to my audience and I said that I joined the Mile High Club with you. Now, obviously, that's not possible unless you're in a plane. So I apologize. I lied. We're at the airport.
Did she just say it was in the airport?
No, like, she's saying, like, we couldn't have had sex, we're in the airport type of thing.
Oh, he said it wasn't on a plane, so it doesn't count as the Mile High Club. But then I'm pretty sure she just said it was in the airport.
Oh, I understood from that it was like, well, obviously we're not going to fuck, we're in an airport, but maybe...
No!
Is that not?
No, he's saying it's not the Mile High Club because that takes place if you have sex on an airplane.
Oh, interesting.
Because you're a mile in, like, Mile High Club. Like, it doesn't count if you're in an airport because that's not the Mile High Club. But he was saying it is. And then she doesn't say, no, we didn't have, like, she goes, it was in the airport. Meaning they did.
Oh, interesting. I didn't get that from that. But yeah, I can see that.
And she also kind of giggles when he first says it.
Well, and people were speculating, like, her hair was messier when they came back and that it was like a 7 to 10 minute difference. Like, it wasn't like a 30 second difference that you're like, of course they didn't.
Yeah,
have sex. Like, it's like I guess that would have been a sad time, but it could have happened in that period of time, you know what I mean? But also something that's important to know is that not only is he sober, he claims to be celibate. So he claims to be an ex-sex addict that is also celibate. He goes on to say certain comments of like, I'm gonna get canceled for this and all this bullshit. And then shortly after this, I guess she goes on her flight. He has this weird ass fucking apology where he is just sobbing, confessing to his past experiences with sex workers and how he's a horrible person. And this is 9 minutes long, and I couldn't even find like a relevant timestamp, but it's literally just him sobbing. And we could just cut to it, honestly. We don't have to watch, but it's like him sobbing about like being a bad man and saying that he could tell that when he was having intercourse with prostitutes and stuff because of addiction that they didn't want to be there, which it's like, sir?
I'm gonna let my emotions out. I'm sorry, Julia. I used to be a sex addict. So the women that I fucked with, I knew were sex, like, sex slaves. They were there against their will, and I still let them fuck with me. That regret eats me up every day. No one's gonna understand that. No one's gonna understand that.
Every time I left the massage parlor, I felt guilty. Every time. Because I knew the woman didn't want to be there. I couldn't control it. I knew they didn't want to be there. I knew they were there against their will, but I couldn't control it.
What's wrong, man? I need sleep.
You need to go to sleep.
It's been like 36 hours. I've been through a lot.
Well, and then it's interesting, though, because I told you off camera earlier that I had listened to, he did a Spaces, that's what it's called on Twitter, the audio thing? A Twitter Spaces, and Keemstar was in it, and they were arguing, and Keemstar, of all people, is calling him out for taking advantage of this girl.
You have to take advantage of that drunk girl. You didn't have to take advantage of that girl.
I'm manipulated.
You didn't have to, like, run this campaign that I'm a good guy. I'm going to go, like, let's raise money for her and help her out. Present yourself as such a saint and a good dude.
Look, he's still trying to be manipulated.
Come back and say that you just joined the Mile High Club. Like, that was disgusting behavior.
Look at you trying to be manipulated, Team, look at you trying to be manipulated now, saying that I took
advantage of the girl. Is that not what happened?
That I did all this shit for the girl.
Is that not what happened?
I did not fuck the girl, Keem.
You said you did.
And what did I
do
after that?
You said you did.
And what did I do after that?
And you got canceled by your chat in real time and switched it up and said it was a joke. Oh, it was just a joke. So you're joking about a fucking victim of sex trafficking, of fucking her, or getting a blowjob in the bathroom?
Why do you think I started crying? Why do you think I started crying? Why do you think I started crying?
Oh, interesting take, Keemstar, actually.
I thought it was very interesting, actually. But he very much is calling him out and sounds like rare W for Keemstar is that he sounds very, like, he's very logical about it. He calls out everything that happened. And then Fousey starts denying that it happened, I think, first of all. And then he says, like, Keem calls him out for saying that he had been with girls that were being sex trafficked. And he then goes, no. Like, I just, like, and then he kind of backtracks and acts like, I just think it's a good possibility they could have been sex trafficked if they're doing that. Not that he, like, knew. It was
you were
just
actually,
like,
sobbing and saying, I'm not a good person. Like, I
and that's what Keemstar says. He's like, then why were you apologizing for it? Why were you crying about it? And then he's like, what? No. Like, everything he says is such a contradiction.
As a sex addict, why do you think I started crying?
That you played a role in sex trafficking in the past. That you were a John. You were a client to victims of sex trafficking.
I said I used to have a sex addiction where I had to go to massage parlors and I don't have validation, but I wouldn't doubt if some of these women.
No, that's what you said after the stream. During the stream, you said something different.
Not true.
Again, like, why would you? You're live. Everyone's seeing it. How do you think you can?
And again, something interesting is that he claims to be sober, which we're speculating on, obviously, because of his demeanor. But he claims to be sober both from alcohol and from sex addiction. So I guess that would still be considered, like, sobriety, right? Like, celibacy is, like, a form of sobriety if you're addicted to sex.
Yeah. I think because doesn't his therapist refer to it as sober for...
Right. So I think that he refers to his celibacy as sobriety. And what's interesting is that because he filmed so much, he actually filmed himself on a speaker phone call with his therapist in the car. And she revealed something interesting.
I love you. You're going to Vegas. You're coming back. And then we'll start our
podcast. Guess what? I'm going to Vegas sober. Oh, you know, a friend of mine tried to say today that I wasn't sober. It was so hurtful.
You've been sober until that thing in the airport. I know that. Right?
Love you, Susie.
Yeah,
bye.
The way he cuts off that conversation.
Is it normal for a therapist to say, I love you?
No. Absolutely
that's
not.
So
I can, like,
weird.
Confidently say that is fucking weird, but it's also not surprising that Fousey would have a therapist that says that she loves him because he's so weird.
And he probably was saying, I love you, to the therapist within 5 minutes. But not only is that kind of a red flag to begin with, but then she flat out says, like, yeah, you were sober until that thing at the airport, meaning he had sex at the airport.
Either he had sex or he drank, but I'm leaning more towards the sex thing because of the context of everything. I think that he broke his celibacy in the airport. And if he did, here's the thing. Here's my, like, final fucking thoughts on it is that, yes, she is an adult. I think that there's an innate weirdness and a sense of taking advantage that comes with having sex with a person that's not sober when you are sober. However, I personally am of the standpoint of, like, I can't create a case for this girl if she doesn't feel the same way. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how she feels. If she feels, like, grateful for him or, like, that she doesn't have any problems with him and maybe she was attracted to him and just wanted to have sex with him. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem becomes that he gives off every fucking red flag of love bombing, of just all this weird fucking shit. And that's what's making people concerned. But I have to also, like, take a step back and be like, I'm not her. If she speaks out, I'm 100% with her, of course.
That's the thing. It's like, you watch this, and it's not like she doesn't seem like she wants to be there. Like, she's very touchy. Like, she's, like, grabbing his arm for tattoos. Like, sure. Look at his tattoos and stuff. Like, she is very much engaging in it, yeah, as much as he is. But, again, she is intoxicated, and she just revealed that she has been in the sex... that she spent 7 months as a victim of sex trafficking. So, the fact that then he would, after then giving her money and getting other people to donate money,
right,
when she's already this vulnerable person that is intoxicated, then you're gonna make her feel like, whether it's from trauma or whatever, that she's, like, indebted to you and she, like, feels like she needs to pay you back.
That's actually such a good point, because it's easy to see it on the surface and be like, you guys are two adults and, like, you know, whatever. But it's true, the money aspect changes so much of it, because she would feel, yeah, indebted to him 100%.
And then especially if she's in this kind of, like, mindset where she has been abused and thinks that, like, that's a normal, I mean, I don't think she does think that that's a normal thing, but, like, but
could maybe her instinct would drive her to believe that that's a normal dynamic with a man.
It's like she's used to having to reciprocate with sexual things.
Jesus. Yeah, that's actually...
And it's just... it just gives me goosebumps. I don't like it at all.
I really hate that, like, she was a victim of sex trafficking because of a man, and then another man comes in who's like, well, like, I want that name, like, removed off of you. I'll give you money. Let's fuck. Like, it's literally actually crazy. How the fuck did he not have... I mean... It's not surprising, because you look at anything Fousey does on the internet and you're like, of course he wouldn't have the wherewithal to, like, understand the gravity of the situation. But, like,
I think that's what's so concerning, because you're like, if you're sober and you don't have any kind of mental illness, which he claims that, like, the bipolar thing was not real.
But that's it. He's medicated for depression. Depression
doesn't make you, like, that's not what this is. Right. And, like, you don't make these rash, impulsive decisions and then end up, like, crying and having a breakdown afterwards because you recognize they're wrong. That doesn't happen. Like, you don't have, like, a 15-minute, like, window where you're just like, whoops, I didn't mean to, and then recognize it later. Like, no, you did this. And then you're trying to, like, cover up the consequences that you're gonna incur because you know that it's gonna look bad, and you were, like, to tunnel vision that getting something you wanted, which I guess you could attribute to maybe his sex addiction.
Yeah, maybe. But also, like, and I'm not saying that this is better, because if the camera would have been off, we wouldn't have seen this and then couldn't have called it out. But, like, dude, turn the fucking camera off. There's something innately wrong with people who stream this long. There is no human being on this planet that can function properly under such scrutiny for that period of time. I'm sorry, like, call it fake or whatever you want, but you need to have a certain level of, like, shutting down from all of this to be able to remain sane.
On that note, I think it's very interesting that this all happens before he goes to Vegas, because have you seen the clips of him in Vegas?
No, I haven't seen them.
Let me just pull up a few, because that's what I was watching on Twitter last night. It's him, like, with, he has, like, a security guard, a camera guy, some other kind of person working for him that doesn't seem like a security guard, but seems kind of like a handler of some kind. And then he also has an assistant who he has claimed to be in love with and was, like, wanting to propose. But during this trip, he is screaming at his assistant, at his camera guy, all of them. He's just yelling all the time.
What color hat do you want? I fucking gave it to them.
Two hats.
No, I don't.
Are you dumb? Like, honestly, Nick, what the fuck? If you're honestly slow, I can't hire you. Wallah.
Nick. It's all
on your camera, Nick.
I don't give a fuck what y'all say. This is my company. I'm the boss. And I deserve even... I get no respect. So the fact that I'm fucking demanding my respect now, I'm gonna demand it.
God did. I wish I could yell.
And it's like he's having temper tantrums. Like, it's the weirdest shit I have ever seen. And it makes zero sense for a sane, sober person to be acting like this if it's not just, like, completely an act for attention. I don't understand what's going on. Like, because it's so not normal and very concerning. Like, that stuff was, like, disturbing because it's like, he's fucked. I can't believe he did that. This stuff is like, he's gonna get himself killed or, like, do something, like, something bad is gonna happen. Like, at one point he was running into the middle of the strip into traffic.
I was sitting at the restaurant the whole time.
I thought you left to get the Oxford.
No, you guys left.
Fuck off.
Yusuf!
Well.
What the fuck is he doing right now? Bro, turn it off. Turn it off. He's being actually stupid as fuck. It's actually so stupid. Until he can calm down.
Hello.
What?
Okay, somebody leave me. Look what's happening right now. This guy's trying to go viral off my name. Get the fuck away!
Oh my god.
You should have stepped in and protected me. What the fuck? He's trying to go viral off my name. He's asking me about July 15th and Keem. What the fuck? Nobody does shit, man. You gotta help protect my image. I'm bad. I'm like Kanye. I lose my mind. I need people around me to protect my image.
Do you hear that?
Yeah.
He goes, I'm like Kanye. I lose my mind. I need people to protect my image. I thought you didn't have anything wrong. Like,
I thought he said, I use my mind.
Oh no, I lose my mind. So that one, he was yelling at a random fan because I guess they asked him something about Keem and July 15th. Here's also him saying that he was planning on proposing to his assistant Kitty in the Maldives.
Love that girl. She knows that. I love that girl.
She shouldn't have said that, but I get that part. But still though.
I love that girl more than you fucking know. She knows how much I love her. She knows that this is not content. I swear to God, I was going to talk to my mom and say, Mom, I think I found the girl. Wallahi, I was.
Wallahi. So this is all after you just allegedly fucked the girl in the airport. Like,
first of all, he's full of shit. Like, literally shit is oozing out of his ears and nose and every crevice. Like, it's bullshit. It's all bullshit. But also, it's like, sir, I've also been to Vegas multiple times. You sound like, well, you don't sound like me in Vegas because it's not like I'm screaming at people and, you know, whatever. You sound just as, like, incoherent as I'd be in Vegas, and I'll just say I wasn't sober. So I don't understand what's going on here. Honestly, I'm just going to say it. Like, he absolutely should immediately end all streams. I think anyone still supporting him live streaming, not that they watch this channel, but, like, anybody that still supports his fucking live streams by subscribing and donating, but especially subscribing because it adds on to that timer where he has to stay live. Like, you should absolutely feel ashamed of yourself. Like, we're all a part of this weird fucking thing that's surrounding this guy who, honestly, I'm sorry, but I don't think he's well of mind. Like, I think that he definitely needs time, space away from the internet. He has been, you know, also on stream talking to his parents, who are obviously concerned for
brother.
The amount of money he's spending. They're concerned. Yeah, people are concerned for him. He said that on H3. People have been genuinely concerned for him. And he is still operating with the July 15th mindset. I'm sorry, but he is. Like, he's still, if you would tell me, like, this happened on the same day as he told everyone Drake was going to be at his concert, I would believe you. Like, it's all so cohesive in the most unfortunate way.
There's parts of him in Vegas where he's saying to other, like, and when he meets someone and he's, like, kind of introducing himself and telling them why he is streaming and stuff, he brings up, he's like, his biggest claim is, like, all the people that started YouTube with me, like, they all have normal jobs now. They're just, like, trying to pay their rent. Like, I'm the next big thing.
Every YouTuber that started with me died 10 times over. They now work a regular job. Good for them. Make a living. It's 2023 and I'm still here and I just signed a deal with Kick and I'm about to take the fuck over. I'm live 24/7. The cameras never turn off. I show you everything. Even when I'm in the heat of drama and the internet's trying to cancel me, I'm live. So you see that I don't script shit, I don't fake shit, and everything's real.
And I'm sorry, but that's objectively untrue. His father was on the phone with him on speaker, literally saying, hey, you need to find a place that's cheaper than $4,000 a month because that is outrageous rent and you cannot afford that, basically. And he's like, okay, I will. But, like, I'm sorry, you're not some fucking big shot if you can't afford $4,000 a
month. Well, and also, he says in the Spaces thing with Keem, I think, he like admits that he's in a ton of credit card debt that he has not paid off.
There's no way he's not.
It's like he plays both sides, though. And then also, there's clips of him saying that he's gonna donate like all of the money that he makes to charity. And I'm like, no, you're not.
He's done that before, where before he like said, I'm going to give away my channel, and then he didn't, or he did and then he got it back or something. He also said, I'm going to donate all the ad. Like, he's gone through that cycle many times, which is super concerning for his mental health, because it's like, we've seen this before, Fousey. Like, how are you going to say that you're in the best kind of time of your life and then act like this? I just don't get it. But also, we know this. Mental health is not an excuse to fucking abuse people or treat people like shit. And like, not an excuse to make horrible decisions repetitively and say you're perfectly fine and everything's fine and broadcast it to people. Like, I'm sorry, but this is so fucked.
Again, I think something bad is gonna happen because no one has any control over him, including himself. And he just does all this crazy shit. And one time he's gonna mess with someone that he's gonna fuck around and find out.
Yeah. Yeah, this is bad. Anyway, that's the Fousey thing. And honestly, I feel like he's still streaming as we're filming this.
That's the thing. I was like, I watched clips last night, but then when I searched him, there's more because he kept streaming. So it's like, it never ends. And I'm sure there's a million things we didn't touch on, but
there's too many.
Holy shit. Yeah, we don't have another 20 days to watch all of his streams.
Literally. But anyway, that is it for today's episode. A strange one indeed. But that's all we have for you today. I hope you enjoyed ?
Yeah, and I hope nothing else has happened, because as we said, Jessie's birthday is on the 17th, so she's going out of town, and I don't know, what's the date today? Is it the 17th?
Well, when you're watching this, my birthday passed. So sad
was
times.
It was yesterday.
Whoop whoop.
I was gonna say happy birthday.
Yeah, when you watch birthday this, it's the day after my birthday. I am officially 30 years old, and I'm so excited. I'm 30, flirty, and thriving.
Oh my God, you and Megan are both 30 now. Now I don't feel so old.
There you go.
But I was going to say, hopefully nothing else happened, because we did film this on, it's Sunday right now. So a little more in advance than we normally do. And the next episode, we're going to be covering some kind of old topic. We haven't quite decided what it's going to be yet, but stay tuned.
Thank you guys so much for watching. If you made it to the end, God bless you. This was a long one.
Yeah, take a breather. Go take a walk.
But we love you and appreciate you. And yeah, that's it. We will see you on Monday. Bye. Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.